في فوائد.
Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you for your compassion toward us. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your strength that is working in our spirit, souls, and bodies. Thank you for giving us dominion over sin, over sicknesses and diseases, and over Satan. Thank you, Lord, for honoring your name in our lives. Thank you for making difficult things to become easy for us. Thank you for making impossible things to become possible unto us. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the revelation of your word that keeps giving us enlightenment and wisdom and spiritual growth. Thank you, Father. Thank you for making us to become stronger than the things that were once stronger than us. Thank you for teaching us obedience to your word. Thank you also for teaching us righteousness. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. As it is written in your word that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Thank you for the knowledge of your truth that you have revealed to everyone in this ministry. Thank you for showing us your truth so that your truth can give us the freedom you want us to have. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We are here in your presence this evening to learn more from your word. Speak to us, O Lord, by your spirit. Give us more enlightenment and understanding in Jesus' name. Make everything we will be discussing here today sink deep in our souls and change us into the kind of persons you want us to be. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for we know you're going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we are free. Amen. Oh, we're going to continue from where we stopped during the last class. Last week, we talked on bad examples of compromising to avoid persecution. And if you can remember, we talked on this man called Naaman. And we also looked at some other verses of the scriptures that point towards people who were so afraid. People who were so afraid of persecution. And because of that, they compromised their faith in God. So today we're going to be looking at another topic, which is fleeing from persecution. Fleeing, that is running away from persecution. But this time, not because of cowardice, but because of discretion. Yeah, because of wisdom. You know, last week I talked about Naaman who compromised his faith because he was scared of what they would do to him in the country of Syria. Yeah. And that is a kind of avoiding persecution because of fear, because of cowardice. Yeah. But there's another way you can avoid persecution and run away from persecution, and it won't be because you are scared or because you're a coward. It will be because you're wise. Yeah, it will be because of good discretion. I hope you understand. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you are hearing me. Praise the Lord. Okay. If you can't hear me, just let me know in the comment section. As I was saying, I said there are some persecution that is let me put it this way. There are some people who avoid persecution because they are thank you for letting me know that you are hearing me. There are some people who avoid persecution because they are scared. They are scared of their lives. They don't want to die. Or they don't want to go to prison. Or they don't want to be publicly humiliated, like the way they humiliated Jesus publicly. Yeah. Well, and that example is wrong. We should not, because of fear, run away from persecution. However, there are times we can run away from persecution, not because we are scared, but but because that is the wise thing to do at that time. Yeah, so that is what we want to look at now. The topic once again says fleeing from persecution out of discretion and not out of cowardice. Out of discretion and not out of cowardice. Let us look at the case of Elijah. The case of Elijah in 1 Kings 19 verse 2 to verse 3. 1 Kings 1 Kings 19 verse 2 to 3. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Bathsheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Yeah, this is the situation. The situation of persecution that happened to Elijah. He was threatened, or his life was threatened by Jezebel the queen, because he killed the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. I know some of you are familiar with the story. There was a contest on the mountain on Mount Carmel. And Elijah told the people, he said, "Let it be that the God that answered by fire be the only true God, the only living God, and the one that should be served." And everyone agreed to that challenge. The prophets of Baal, they called on their God for fire to come down from the sky. But nothing happened. Fire didn't come down. And of course, there's no way fire would come down. Maybe Baal could do that before that time. Yeah, because if Baal couldn't do that, they wouldn't be so confident calling upon him to send down fire. Yeah, but there's no way a demon can fight with God. Yeah, they can't even stand to confront God. Yeah, so obviously there's no way Baal could have brought down fire. Yeah, because he was fighting against God. Yeah, so you know the story. After they've tried to call down fire and fire didn't come down, Elijah did his own prayers, and God honored the prayers of Elijah, and fire came down. So in that moment, there was a revival, and the hearts of the people melted, and they all bowed down in repentance to worship the Holy True God, who is the God of Israel. Yeah, and because God prevailed in the land, Elijah had that authority as the man of God, as the representative of God. He had the authority to kill the false prophet, because that was the law. Elijah didn't do anything against the laws of God in the Old Testament. Everything he did, even when he said the rain should not fall, everything was according to the law of the Old Testament. So he wasn't a prophet that misused his power. Yeah, he always do things that is pleasing to God. Yeah, because it is in the law that anyone that is a witch, I mean, it is in the Old Testament laws that anyone that is a witch or that worship another god, or that is a prophet or a dreamer dedicated to another god that is not the living God, the King of Glory, that such person should be put to death. Yeah, so Elijah took the sword and slaughtered all those false prophets right there on Mount Carmel. And you know, Jezebel was the representative of Satan in the entire kingdom of Israel. She was the wife of the king, and she was the one sponsoring the idol worshipping going on in the land. Yeah, including, because it wasn't only Baal they were worshipping. They were worshipping many gods. But the most popular of those gods was Baal. Yeah, and I want you to know that Everybody going to Roman Catholic Church today are also worshipping Baal. Yeah, because it is the same God. I repeat, everybody in Roman Catholic Church, they are worshipping Baal. So if you have family members there, try as much as possible to preach to them so that they can stop going to that church. Yeah, that is just by the way. So as I was saying, Jezebel came, I don't know where she went. Yeah, but she came and realized what has happened, because they gave her the news that God sent down fire from the sky, and Elijah took the sword and killed all the prophets of Baal. So she was very angry, and she sent a messenger to Elijah and said, you know, and she swore by the God, our God, that, you know, let it's not like saying let bad thing happen to me, or let the gods that I serve do evil to me if I don't make your life like one of those false prophets you killed. That was the message he sent to Elijah. In other words, he was saying that he is going to slaughter Elijah the same way Elijah slaughtered a prophet, because all those prophets of Baal, they were Jezebel's servants. They were working for her. Yeah, because this Jezebel wasn't an ordinary woman. Yeah, she was maybe you can say a demonic panic. Yeah, or someone that have become a devil in himself. So Jezebel was a very powerful woman in the spiritual realm. Yeah, and she had a mission. Satan sent her to Israel to marry the king of Israel, because Satan wanted her to turn the heart of the king against God, and also so that the king can also turn the hearts of all the people in the land against God. Yeah, so she wasn't an ordinary woman. Yeah, so when Elijah got the news, he ran for his life. Now, some people have argued that, Elijah ran because of fear. Yeah, that he shouldn't have run away, he should have stayed. Yeah, because God, who defended him on Mount Carmel against the false prophet, would also defend him against Jezebel. Yeah, but I don't think it was fear that made Elijah to run for his life. I don't think it was fear. I think it was wisdom. Yeah, and I'm going to explain to you. If you happen to be a spiritual person, and you happen to be a prayer warrior, I mean someone who fights spiritual warfare maybe through prayers and fasting, you fight darkness, you fight powers of darkness, you fight principalities. If you happen to be someone like that, you will know that you will know when you are in victory and when you are not. Yeah, for instance, I always know when I'm winning the enemy and when I'm yet to win. Though I know that I always win the enemy. Yeah, but there are times that you can sense that you have not yet gotten your dominion. Though you know you will get the dominion because you are in the battle, you're fighting. But you know you are yet to get the dominion. You are yet to get the victory. You will be able to sense it in your spirit. Yeah, and at that time, your focus would be to get the victory, to give everything it takes to get the victory. So that was the same thing that happened to Elijah. Yeah. While he was confronting the prophets of Baal, he was so sure of the presence of God that was with him. You know, Elijah was someone that have face-to-face relationship with angels alone. Yeah, both with God and with angels. Yeah, so while he was confronting the prophets of Baal, he definitely had a presence of God with him, and he was so sure of that presence. He was so confident of that in that presence of God. Yeah. So, but this time around, you couldn't really find that presence. Though, you know, in those days, in the Old Testament, they walk by signs because they don't have the privilege like we have now, that we have the Holy Ghost with us all the time. And as a matter of fact, we have the Holy Ghost inside of us. In those days, they don't have the Holy Ghost inside of them. But they could, some of them that happen to be prophets, they could be given access to connect with the Spirit of God. Yeah, but they can't, it's not the time they can have that connection. Yeah. So there'll be time the Spirit, there'll be time that the Spirit will just depart from them. Yeah. And they'll just be like any ordinary person. And then there are times that the Spirit would come to them, would come upon them. So most times when they have not really felt that connection, what they would do is they'll start to fast, they'll start to praise God, they would start to sing hymns, yeah, or sing psalms, until they're able to feel that connection, or they're able to see God's presence come down. Yeah, so God's presence then is not constant like now. Yeah, God's presence used to come and go, come and go, even in the days of Moses. Moses would have to engage with God's presence. Yeah, it's not like Moses had the presence inside of him like we have today. He would have to, you know, doesn't have it permanently. So he would have to maybe go to the mountain, or enter the tabernacle of meeting, or which is also called the tent of meeting, and go and commune with God there. He doesn't actually have God's presence the way we have it today. Yeah, so we New Testament believers, we are greater than the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets. Yeah, because we have God's presence inside of us, always. And we can access that presence always, because it doesn't leave us. Yeah, except we leave that presence. Yeah, so nowadays, it is people that leave God's presence, because God's presence doesn't leave them. God's presence can't leave you. Usually, it is you that will leave His presence through the kind of life you have chosen to live. Yeah. I hope you understand. So Elijah couldn't feel that presence. That presence of God. Which is not his fault. Yeah, because that was the dispensation they were in the Old Testament. So he couldn't really feel that presence of God. He felt when he was confronting the prophets of Baal. So that was why he had to run for his life, because he knew that if he didn't run, he would be killed. Yeah, he knew that. At least was wise enough to know that I need to run. Yeah, because my life is in danger. Yeah, now you might be saying, if he stayed, maybe nothing would happen to him. Well, you can't be sure. If he stayed, he might have been killed. I mean, that may be the end of his life. Yeah, so you can't be sure. Like, because some people like to argue the Bible a lot. they like to argue the scriptures a lot. Yeah, but they don't have any understanding of the situation the people in the Bible went through. They have no understanding of the circumstances that surrounded them. So you can't judge the reaction of Elijah when he got that message from Jezebel. If you don't put yourself in the same position Elijah was at that time. Yeah, so Elijah running away from persecution wasn't according to sin. It was according to his discretion, his wisdom. Yeah, because Elijah is a man of war. He is a man of war. Yeah, he's not someone that will run from bad. So there must be a reason. And if you read more of that chapter, you're going to see the reasons there. Yeah, so he felt, because he couldn't really feel God's presence. Yeah, so he felt God abandoned him. And he was even thinking, he was praying that God should kill him. Yeah, you can read the rest of the story in that 1 Kings 19. Now, let's look at another example. We have a lot of examples we have many examples to look at. So I need to be very fast. Let us look at Jeremiah 26, verse 20 to 21. Jeremiah. Verse 20 to 21. And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land, according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes, add his word, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. This is also an example. Yeah, it says he was afraid and fled. Yeah, because he felt he was alone. No one is with him, or no one is going to fight for him. So as I said earlier, We cannot conclude that these men that ran away from persecution were cowards. We can't conclude that because we don't fully know the kind of situations that surrounded them in those days. Yeah, we don't fully know the kind of situations that surrounded them. So before you say, oh, they were scared, you need to think more about what exactly was going on around them at that time. So let us look at another scripture. Jeremiah 36, verse 19 and verse 26. Jeremiah 36, verse 19. Then said the priest unto Baruch, go, hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. Verse 26. Okay, let me see if I can. Okay, let me just read 26. But the king commanded Jeremiah, the son of Hamile, and Seraiah, the son of Azriah, and Selemiah, the son of Abdi, to take Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Yeah, you can see that in verse 19. You can see that people from the palace, the princes, people from the palace, they gave that word to to the servant of Jeremiah, Baruch, which is also the scribe of Jeremiah, because that man always take record of every prophecy that comes from the mouth of Jeremiah. And I believe it was because of Baruch that we were able to really have access to many of the prophecies of Jeremiah today. Yeah, so they told that man, Baruch, that quickly you and your master, Jeremiah, go and hide. Yeah, so and verse 26 confirmed that they were actually hidden. Yeah, so maybe they found out where they were hiding or something, but God made sure that they did not see them. Yeah, so it says, but the Lord hid them. Yeah, so now you might be thinking, why would God support that they go into hiding from those that want to kill them? Yeah, so it is part of God's intervention when he exposed the plans and conspiracies of your enemies to you. Yeah, so God expects that you take action when he exposes what the enemy is planning. I'm talking about physical enemies, human enemies, what they are planning to do to you. So God wants you to run. Yeah. He wants you to run. That is why he made sure you knew before they actually get to you. Yeah. But some Christians, even after God have exposed what the enemy would do to them, they will still walk into the mouth. Yeah, they will still walk into the mouth of the lion and get devoured. Yeah, instead of them to actually run for their lives. Yeah, so it is not every persecution that God wants us to to pass through. Storm, God wants us to run from them, to run away from them, because it is a way of Him preserving our lives, because it is not yet time for us to leave this world or for us to die. So always take note of this. Let us also look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 to 14. Matthew. Chapter 2, 13 to 14. And when they were departed, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Yeah, you can see that. That was when Jesus was still very young, was still a child. Yeah, we don't know how many years. Yeah, but we knew that Herod was determined to kill him. Yeah, we don't know, maybe it was a few months old or some years. Yeah, we don't know, but Jesus was still a fragile baby. Yeah, and even from that point, he already had enemies that want to take his life. Yeah, so he didn't say, "I think this child is the Son of God." Then nothing should be able to touch the Son of God. So why should we go to Egypt? Why can't we just stay here? Let Herod come. Let Herod and his soldiers come, and the angels will fight them. Yeah, it wasn't foolish to think like that. He obeyed the instruction that was given to him in his dream. Yeah. So if God says flee, don't say, "Is God not powerful? Why should I run from my enemies? Why can't God fight them for me?" Now, the same God that you're saying should fight for you is the one that is telling you to run for your life. And then you are saying, "Let God fight." Well, you will be on your own when the enemy comes. Yeah, God will not be able to defend you. Yeah. Some Christians, they belong to a wrong ministry or to a wrong church. And the Holy Spirit has been sending warnings to them. Leave this church. Leave this ministry. Leave this place. Your life is in danger. Leave this church. Leave this church. They have been getting that warning, that instruction. But maybe because they have some emotional attachment with some people in the church or with the leader of the ministry or of the church, and then they feel like, "Oh, I don't want to be a bad person. I don't want to be seen as a bad person, because if I leave now, maybe some other people will start to leave, or they will start asking questions, 'Why do you leave?'" Yeah, and then We've seen cases of people who refuse to leave after several warnings from the Holy Spirit, and eventually they lost their lives because there was a great darkness in that church. And the Spirit of God was telling them, leave this church. But they wouldn't listen. Yeah, they thought God would protect them. Yeah, I pray you will not be like those Christians. In Jesus' name. So let us continue. Though there was another thing I wanted to bring up from that passage, but because of time, maybe I should quickly talk on it. Yeah, don't forget the angel told Joseph, he said, stay in Egypt. Stay there until I bring the word. And if you read further, you're going to see that when it was time for Joseph to leave Egypt, the same angel came and told him that now you can return the child back to his realm. Because all the people that wanted the child, they have all died. Now, what I want to bring out from that is that God is faithful and committed to his people. He's faithful and committed to us. It's just like someone can give you a phone call and then tell you that I'm going to call you back after 6 months. Yeah, so just wait to hear a feedback from me. So God can deal with you like that. Yeah, there are people that I've given them instructions like, don't do anything. Wait for God to speak before you go ahead with your plan. Wait for God to speak. And some of them were like, how long would I wait for God? How am I sure he's going to speak anything? Yeah, it is because they do not understand how committed God is to his people and how faithful God is. Do you think God doesn't know when you make up your mind to wait on him for an instruction or for a direction? Do you think at that point you make up your mind to wait on him, do you think he's not aware? He's very much aware at that point in time. Yeah, so those that have learned to wait for God's leading, for God's directions, they have never been disappointed. They have never been put to shame. God always comes to them to give them directions. And many people in the Old Testament, they do this thing a lot. This thing I'm telling you right now, they do it a lot. Even though at that time, God doesn't dwell inside of them like he does with us now. But yet they do that a lot in those days. Yeah, they could wait for years expecting that God will send a message or send a messenger. And they wouldn't do anything. They would wait for the message. They would wait for the instruction. And they could do that for as long as 10, 15 years. Yeah, because they trust God. They trust God's faithfulness. Yeah, how much do you trust God's faithfulness? Yeah, maybe you just waited for some months and then you're already thinking, would God ever come and show me the next thing to do? Or maybe I should just find a solution by myself. Yeah, if the Old Testament people could do that, what's wrong with you? And yeah, why can't you do the same? Yeah, and God doesn't fail them. Sometimes it comes to them in their dreams. Sometimes he would send prophets to them. Sometimes he would send angels to them. Yeah, because he knows that they will not do anything until he answered them. So Joseph waited in Egypt until that angel came back and told him that it is now time to return back home. I pray that you will learn to do the same. In Jesus' name. So let's move to the next one. Matthew chapter 10, verse 23. We are looking at cases where it is okay to run away from persecution. And it wouldn't be fear or cowardice, but it will be wisdom to do that at that time. Matthew chapter 10, verse 23. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. You can see this was Jesus telling them to run from persecution. Yeah, he said when they persecute you here in this city, go into another city. Yeah. Because Jesus doesn't want them to die before their time. He wanted them to have spread the news, the good news about him and God's kingdom before they die. And that was what the apostles were doing. Yeah, when they persecuted many of them in Jerusalem, when they persecuted the church in Jerusalem, many of them ran to other surrounding cities and they continued to preach in those cities. Yeah, to show that they weren't afraid. They just want many people to still hear the gospel. So they were running away from death, not because they were scared of death, but because they still have many people to preach the gospel to. Yeah, they still have many places to visit and preach the gospel there. And there's no way they'll be able to do that if they allow themselves to be captured, to be imprisoned, and to be killed. Yeah, so I hope you understand that it was not because of fear per se, or because they were cowards. It was really because they believe it is not yet their time. Yeah, there's a way you will know if you are very spiritual. And if you are a dedicated and serious and committed servant of God, there's a way you will know when it is your time to leave this world and when it is not yet your time. Yeah, so let us continue. Matthew chapter 12, verse 14 to 15. Matthew 12, 14 to 15. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, that is, they had a meeting against Jesus, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from them, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. You can see that. When Jesus knew what they were planning, he withdrew himself from that place. Was it because Jesus was scared? Of course not. But it was because he doesn't want them to hinder his work, because he hadn't finished his work yet. Let us also look at John chapter 7, verse 1. John 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Okay, can you see that too? He deliberately did not enter into some places because they were going to kill him. Yeah, and that wasn't because of fear, because the same Jesus said that, do not fear those that can only kill the body, but fear the one who is able to destroy both the body, both the body and the soul in hell. Yeah. So Jesus wasn't afraid, but he was wise enough to take caution. I pray you will be wise in Jesus' name. Let us also look at, there are quite a lot of verses here. Let us also look at John chapter 10, verse 39 to 40. John chapter 10, verse 39 to verse 14. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. Yeah, I believe you are taking note of everything those verses said. Another scripture, John 11, verse 53 to 54. And I believe you are opening those scriptures over there where you are, and you are reading along with me as I read from here. John 11, 53 to 54. Then, from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. So you can see in this John alone, we have read several places that shows that they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill Jesus. In 54, Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. You can see, because he knew that it was not his time to die yet. So He didn't stay in the place where they were going to kill him. Let us also look at Acts of the Apostles 9, verse 23 to 25. Acts 9, 23 to 25. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known, but their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gate day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Yeah, can you see that? They were plotting to kill Saul. Yeah. They were plotting to kill him. And the secret was known to Paul, to Apostle Paul, who is also Saul. Yeah, who was Saul before he changed his name. The secret was known to him. And the disciples also got to know. So they quickly took him by night. Yeah. Would you call that fear? No, that is wisdom. Yeah, because if Paul had died at that time, at this point, maybe some of the scriptures he wrote that we are reading today that is blessing us, maybe we wouldn't have lived long enough to write those scriptures. Yeah. So let us also look at another verse. Acts 14, verse 5 to 6. 14, 5 to 6. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lies round about. You can see they fled. Yeah, when they saw the chaos that was already going on. And they saw that they were going to stone them. They fled. Yeah. So, there are cases of persecution that we don't have to suffer. Yeah. We don't have to suffer. And usually God always creates a way of escape. And most times this kind of persecution are meant to actually heal us. Yeah, and because God doesn't want us to die at that time, especially to die from the hands of the enemy at that time, He would create a way out. Yeah. So I still don't believe that anyone can kill God's children, whether through persecution or through spiritual attacks. I don't believe anyone can kill God's children. I believe that if anyone happens to kill God's children, it is God that allowed it to happen, that it is God that gave the enemy the power to do it. Yeah. Especially God's children that are doing God's will. Yeah, God always preserves their lives. Yeah, and there's no way they will die before their time. And mind you, God can use your enemies to kill you or to end your life if it is the right time. Like he did with Jesus. He allowed them to kill him because it was his right time. And many of the apostles, he allowed the enemy to kill them because it was the right time. Yeah, and even they knew that it was the right time. I mean, the apostles themselves knew that it was the right time for them to die. Yeah. I pray you will learn from all these examples we have been looking at. Let us continue. Also in Acts 17, verse 5 and verse 10. Acts 17, verse 5. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the bizarre sons, and gathered a company, and settled the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Okay, verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. So you can see they sent them away. Yeah, by night. Because some people already caused an uproar in the entire city. And they wanted to kill Paul and Silas. Yeah, so a lot of examples like this, where Christians ran away from persecution. Yeah, because that was the right thing to do at that time. Let us also look at even the same Act 17. Let us look at verse 13 and verse 14. But when the Jews of Thessalonica, Act 17, verse 13 to 14, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came hither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. You can see they kept following them with problems, with troubles. Yeah, that shows how determined the enemy is. And we must be more determined to spread the gospel as well. Now, let us look at Acts chapter 23, verse 12 to 35. And I think we're going to stop at this point. Acts 23, the book of Acts of the Apostles, 23 verse 12 to 35. Let me see if I can read everything. Okay, it's not that long. Let us read together. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had healed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we would not, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he had a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul, the prisoner, called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who had something to say unto thee. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is that thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee? So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man that thou hast shewed these things to me. Verse 23. And he called unto him 2 centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 80 and 10, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night. And provide them beasts, that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix, the governor. And he wrote a letter after this manner, Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor Felix, sendeth greeting. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straight away to thee, and give commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle. Who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood that he was of Cilicia, "I will hear this," said he, "when thine accusers are also come." And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. Praise the Lord. Yeah, the passage was quite long, but I think I should read it. Yeah, so you all have seen in that passage how God used the Roman soldiers to rescue Paul from those that made hope together to kill him. Yeah, so let's say the son of Paul's sister didn't hear about that conspiracy. You know, they would have killed him. They would have successfully killed Paul. Yeah, so God knows how to rescue his own children. Yeah, because it is possible that nobody would give Paul the news of what they were planning, and the news wouldn't have gotten to the ship captain, and that was why he would have died. Yeah, but God, who was committed to preserve his life, exposed the secret. And then another thing we can learn from this passage is also that sometimes God loves to use the government of certain countries to protect Christians. Because as at this present time in this passage, the Roman government were protecting Christians, though later they turned against Christians. Yeah, after some years. Yeah, I mean some years after this place we have read, there was another emperor that now start fighting against Christians. But in this place we have just read, God was still using the Roman government to protect his people. And they were ready to protect him. So imagine they sent how many soldiers? Let me check. They sent 470 soldiers. Yeah, 470 Roman soldiers to rescue him. Yeah, and it was because he was a Roman citizen. Yeah, he was a Roman citizen. Maybe the mother of Paul was a Roman. I don't know. Or maybe I don't know how Paul became a Roman citizen. Yeah. So sometimes God may send you into a country and help you to become a citizen of that country, even though you already had your citizenship in your home country or your birth country. Yeah, but God wanted you to have another citizenship in another country. Maybe for a future purpose. Yeah, maybe for a reason to save your life in the future. Yeah, which you may not know, because if Paul wasn't a Roman citizen, he may have been killed. Yeah, because the Romans, they don't that love the Romans in those days, they do not so much fight to preserve the lives of the Israelites. Yeah, sometimes they just let the Israelites do whatever they want with themselves, as long as it doesn't affect public peace. Yeah, as long as it doesn't really affect them, they can allow those chief priests and those religious leaders to kill anyone they wanted to kill. But Paul got an advantage because he was a Roman citizen and at the same time an Israelite. Yeah, I hope you got my point. We're going to stop here. If you have any questions concerning this teaching or past teachings on persecution, you can ask your questions on our Telegram group. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for teaching us to be wise in the face of persecution and to be able to discern the way of escape you have created in the midst of persecutions, so that our lives will not be cut short untimely by our enemies. Thank you for showing all these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that just in the same way you committed yourself to the people in the Bible to help them, to save them, and to preserve their lives, O Lord, please commit yourself also to do the same for every member of this ministry in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name.